Hello, and welcome to We've Got Your Six on NDTnow.com, brought to you by SureHand, the self-service hiring platform that instantly matches industrial employers with verified tradespeople. Thank you to all those listeners who are joining us here again at We've Got Your Six. And if you're new to the podcast, We've Got Your Six is all about interviewing prominent figures in the NDT industry and getting their take on where the industry is headed and getting some advice for those who are just starting their careers, all while hearing some great stories along the way. We ask all of our guests the same six questions to keep it short and sweet, so you can listen on your lunch break, on your way to the job site, or while you're boarding a flight. Be sure to check out our other podcasts, Level Up and Gain, on ndtnow.com. And now I'd like to introduce today's guest, though in the world of NDT, he needs no introduction. Today we are speaking to Chuck Hellier, the man who literally wrote the book on non-destructive testing three times over. Chuck was the founder of Hellier Technical Training and Consulting and retired from Hellier in January 2011. And I'm using retired in quotes because he is one of the busiest retired people I've ever met. Presently, he is an independent consultant and principal of the Summit Group, as well as Vice President of NDT Classroom, which offers a series of complete online training courses on the subject of non-destructive testing and inspection. He has been active in the technology of non-destructive testing and related quality and inspection fields for over 50 years. He holds an ASNT Level 3 certificate in five methods and is board certified forensic examiner, and holds memberships in ASME, ASTM, ASM, AWS, ACFE, and ASNT. He's a lifetime member, a fellow, and a past president of ASNT, and he is also a past president and remains active with the Non-Destructive Testing Management Association, NDTMA. On top of that, he is one of the greatest people you will ever meet. It is a deep honor and privilege to be able to interview him for you all. Thank you so much for joining us today, Chuck.
Well, I don't know how I feel after that wonderful introduction. Wow, I think we used most of the time, and I appreciate that. But I'm delighted to be able to be on with you, and more than happy to talk a little bit about, I'll try to keep it down to a little bit about NDT and how effective it's been for me and what impact it has had on my life.
That's excellent. We're really happy to have you here today. So can you tell us a little bit about what you do now? I did mention you were retired, but as we all know, you are never rest. So can you tell us a little bit about what you do now?
Yeah, I keep saying retirement. I wonder if that will ever come, but I have to be honest with you, since I've been involved with NDT for so many years, it just gets into your blood and it becomes just a lifestyle. And I don't think I'll ever give up. I very much enjoy NDT. And that is one of the major messages I'd like to give to anyone who may be considering a career in NDT. And that it is just full of tremendous opportunities. And I can just tell you from my own personal experience and my own career that I have had the most wonderful life any man could imagine. NDT has been just so good to me. And I hope that I, in return, have contributed to NDT. So, yeah, you did mention a couple of things. I won't go into any kind of a detail on it, but what I'm doing now is very active with the development and production of the online training courses on the subject of NDT. With NDT Classroom, we have about, I think, a total of 23 or 24 courses online, including all of the basic methods, and then some of the more advanced subjects, such as phased array, ultrasonic phased array, and time of flight diffraction. And then most recently, we just finished a pretty extensive course on radiographic image interpretation. And that is going through its final vetting and should be available, I believe, about halfway through this month. So, and that was exciting to get that done. It's something I believe strongly in that is greatly needed because of the, over my lifetime, I've done a lot of independent consulting on radiographic interpretation issues where the interpretation has been in question, I'll put it that way. And I've helped to solve some of those major, major problems. And then you mentioned the stomach group. We're still, Jim Treat and I are partners, and we're still very much involved with that. We do things like outside agency certification services and some technical consulting. The expert witness is something I do from time to time. I don't like to think of that as a career, but certainly could turn into that if anyone wanted to. And then, you know, we do the management seminar. So it's been a very good life and good health so that I'm able to still participate in the various NDT activities.
That's really excellent. And I think one of the great things about NDT Classroom that I really like is that you guys are able to bring the best teachers in the world to everyone and make it accessible online, which I think is really, you know, there's a lot of people teaching courses, but when you can learn from the industry legends, I think that's a real testament to the level of classes that you guys are offering. And also on the radiographic interpretation, if I remember correctly, did you write an article recently for Quality Magazine? I feel like I read that maybe last month.
Yeah, it was just published in, I think it came out in the July issue or June issue. And it was called Radiographic Image Interpretation, Time to Do It Right. I've seen so many cases where calls have been made that have cost tremendous amounts of money. And I always say that the second most important thing in radiography is calling something that isn't there, right? We have radiographic interpretation looking for flaws and interpreting those flaws in accordance with the codes. And that when something is missed can be very costly. In fact, can and has in the past resulted in downtime and then system failure. But on the other hand, it's very costly when a false call or improper call is made and unnecessary repairs are made. So the importance of proper and effective and correct interpretation is major and has major impact on the industry and schedules and costs and so on. So I'm a very strong believer that you don't learn how to take a radiograph and interpret it in a 40-hour class. It's almost a lifelong, let's say, goal. I've looked at, I don't know, I've lost track of how many thousands of radiographs I've looked at in my life. And still, I'll look at some currently and think that I know everything about it and it would be something new. So it's an ever-challenging aspect of radiography. And I think my friend, who's no longer with us, Sam Wenk, used to say it's a blend of art and technology. Science and art together, I think, probably best describes the issue of radiographic interpretation.
I've never heard that before, but I think that's pretty accurate for sure. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got into NDT?
I can tell you a lot about how I, but I won't. I know we're limited on time, but interesting. I, like a lot of other young men, when I was growing up, got married young. It was the thing to do. So I had a job, not a very good one, at a steel company, very hard work. I was going to school at night to try to finish my degree, and the family was growing. And, you know, I was tired all the time. It was just a very tiring situation. I even had a third shift radiographic job at one time. But in any event, before radiography, before NDT, I was looking for an opportunity to do something different. And I was going to a church, and one of my friends at church, I was not complaining, but telling him about the terrible schedule that I had and how challenging it was with the growing family. And he said, "You ought to take a job with me." He said, "I work for a company." Actually, the name of the company at that time was the Budd Company, B-U-D-D. They used to make rail cars and aerospace parts. And he said, "You ought to come because I'm an X-ray technician, and you can get a job doing that too." So he had to, first of all, explain to me what an X-ray technician did. I didn't know what X-rays were at that time. So he said, "Just show up at the personnel." That was before, that's when they were still called personnel directors. "And just tell her that you're interested in photography." And I did. And I wasn't lying, because I was really interested in photography. And so she said, after the interview, she said, "Can you start next Monday? I want to hire you as an X-ray technician." That's how I got into NDT. And of course, once I got in and started learning a lot on my own, because it was before the handbooks, there was nothing really out there in the way of training courses. So I did a lot of self-study and learned a lot of, as much as I could, about X-rays. And it was an outstanding way to get introduced, because the first day on the job, I was taking X-rays with an X-ray machine. And one of the interesting aspects of that particular assignment was that one of the projects I was on was a large double-walled cylinder that I found out afterwards was a prototype for aerospace nuclear reactors.
Oh, wow.
And of course, it didn't work out very well, because there was concern about the reactors falling out of the sky and so on. But in any event, that's how I got into it, and I really enjoyed it. From there, I was offered a job as supervisor, the first time I had a job in supervision at a place called the SPS Technologies, now in Philadelphia. And I bring that up because that was a turning point for me. I actually got involved with the other methods, the penetrant and magnetic particle, and was set up an ultrasonic system, and did a lot more in radiography using X-ray equipment. But the reason it was a turning point was because a salesman, an NDT product salesman, used to visit, and he kept trying to coax me into coming to a technical meeting in Philadelphia. At that time, it was known as the Society for Non-Destructive Testing, SNT. And finally, he just bugged me so much, I said, "Okay, I'll go." And he picked me up and took me. My first SNT meeting was at the Greater Philadelphia section in 1958. And I was intrigued. I was intrigued with what I learned. The people, the members there, were so warm and open, always wanting to help. So I mention that only because that was one of the major turning points for me that really got me hooked on this technology. So from there, I went to Electric Boat and had a wonderful time there. I was with them for 6 years. I learned so much. Then after that, I started my own company, NDT Engineering, which was acquired by the Hartford Steam Boiler Inspection and Insurance Company. That was way back in 78. ultimately, I started my company, Hellyer Technical Training and Consulting, in 1986. The rest of the story, I think, is pretty well known. Longview Inspection, Jim Treat, acquired my company in 1998. And then he and I, we both retired from those jobs, from Longview, which became Rockwood Services. And then we decided we weren't ready for retirement. Back in 2011, we started talking about NDT Classroom and online training. So sorry I went on too long, Mary Beth, but it's hard to cram all those years into such a short period of time.
No, that's so great. That's so great. You've always been on the forefront of NDT. So it's so interesting to hear the story about how your journey, you know, and I think our listeners really appreciate hearing how everybody got into it. You know, most people sort of like you fell into it just because somebody started telling them about it. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we started NDTnow.com and why we're doing the podcast is so that more and more people can hear about NDT and really consider it as a career, because it is a lifelong journey. People generally don't retire in this industry. And when they do, they find something else to do, right? Because it's one of those things where you're constantly learning new technologies, new techniques. And it's exciting. It's something that people in the industry are really passionate about. So it was really great to hear your journey through your career. So can you tell us a little bit?
I just wanted to add one thing as far as anyone who may be considering getting into NDT. When I got involved, there was five or six basic methods. Now there's so many opportunities. The technology, and I'll talk a little bit about this later if you want, has just grown so much with so many more exciting methods and techniques, and it virtually reaches every corner of the industrial world. Just amazing. So I'm sorry, I just had to throw that on because I love to be able to encourage people who are really have the zeal to get into something with a challenge. NDT is it.
Agreed. So can you tell us which method you used most throughout your career? I know you've got a level 3 and in 5 different methods, but can you tell us which one you used most, or maybe which one was your favorite to use?
Well, favorite? They're all my favorite.
It's like children, I know.
That's right, yeah. I guess since I started breaking into NDT with radiography, I have really sort of focused and become more specialized with RT. But in second place, I would put ultrasonics. Ultrasonic testing is just phenomenal when you consider when I started, we were basically looking at flat bottom holes, and now the technology is just phenomenal in that it can produce images like with phased array ultrasonics, where you can actually see what you're looking at. It's just remarkable. So those two, I would say, with RT would be first place, and UT would be the second place, with a lot of emphasis on that interpretation of radiographs.
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, Chuck, when we talk to people on this podcast and really anywhere, and we talk about mentoring, I will say your name comes up most out of anybody else. Everybody usually mentions Chuck Hellyer as their mentor, which really speaks to how much time and effort and real care that you put into the industry and its people. But can you tell us a little bit about your mentors and how their mentoring affected you?
I'd be very happy to talk about that. There's really no one single person that I can say had a major impact on my life as far as mentoring is concerned. But the two individuals that really come to the forefront is Sam Wink and, of course, Robert McMaster. Now, Sam Wink, I can't even say enough about him. He was the president of AS&T the year right after I was. So we went through an awful lot of experiences dealing with AS&T together in the board meetings and other meetings. But he was more than that. I'll never forget the day that I found out that my dad had leukemia, and he was only given a couple of months left to live. Sam was the first person that I called. And it was like it was happening to him too. You know, he just took such a great personal experience, care and interest in what I was going through. And when ultimately my dad did pass away, I got a call from Sam and he said, "Your father may have passed away, but this father is still here." He said, "I want you to let me take over as your father." Mm. And that just touched me. I mean, how many men would tell another man something like that? And so we became very, very close. In fact, he was in the process of retiring from Southwest Research Institute, and he recommended me to take his job as institute engineer.
Oh, wow.
And I was really honored to be able to be offered that job. I went out to San Antonio and met with Martin Golan, who was the president at the time. I knew some of the other NDT folks that worked there. And I thought this was the ultimate. And they offered me the position of replacing Sam, one of the greatest honors I thought I could have ever been offered. And one thing led to another. I was on my way out to San Antonio to look for housing. And when I got to San Antonio, I think this was a message from God, Mary Beth. But when I got to San Antonio, we landed in a snowstorm and everything was shut down. I had to bribe a taxi driver to get to a hotel so I could stay there. They actually ended up with 13 inches of snow in, wow, in San Antonio. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in the hotel room that night and saying, you know, if I really have to deal with snow, I can do that better back in New England. They didn't have snow plows. They didn't even have snow shovels. Long story short, I just felt that God was leading me to something different. So I took the first plane out the next morning and decided to start my own business again. And that at that point is when I started Hellier. Not my idea to call the company my last name. This was some of the folks that I talked with who were very close friends. They said, "Yeah, call it Hellier." So he was just like that. I visited him just, well, he was a constant smoker. Mm. He smoked every time they'd call on us both to look at radiographs, and he would smoke the whole time that we were looking at radiographs in front of the viewer, and he just wouldn't give up. So it got to the point where his health was really failing, and I visited him. He was living in Florida, and trying to remember the name of the town, but I visited with him, and at that time, he had wasted away. The cancer had really done a job on him, and I just hugged him. You know, I felt so close to him, and I told him that you know what he meant to me and how he had affected my life. And it was just a matter of a couple months after that that he passed away. But I did get him with extensive video. I took a video of him asking him to talk about his life with NDT. It was remarkable. I still have that, by the way. And so he told me many, many times that the important thing, this is how he mentored me. he instilled in me the need for technical knowledge, that you never can learn enough. And of course, he was talking about life in general, but he also meant in NDT. And the other, I think the other characteristic that he instilled in me was competence. You know, making commitments and following up on the commitments. Very, very important in his life, and just still impacts me this time, at this time in my life, where I may say, what am I going to do about this particular situation? And then I ask the question, what would Sam tell me to do? So he had a major impact. And of course, very quickly, the other man was Dr. McMaster. Robert McMaster, as probably most people know, was the editor of the first two-volume handbook of NDT. And even though I tried to emulate what he did with that set of handbooks, I couldn't even come close. He actually did the handbook before they had word processing and computers. I used to give a course in Columbus, and it was a joint effort between the American Society for Metals and ASNT. And anytime I was in Columbus, I would ask him to come and speak to the students in the class. And Mary Beth, I didn't want to go back and teach again. I mean, once he got up and started talking about his career in NDT, he was mesmerizing. I mean, it just had everybody just captured. But in any event, he used to do that, and then I'd always end up going to his house for dinner. And I remember going to his study, seeing piles of hard copies of chapters and papers that he had written. He just had a tremendous impact on me. He just affected me in so many ways. He was brilliant. He lectured without notes. I took one of his 2-week summer courses at Ohio State University, and I didn't want to come home. It was just so tremendous. And just one final thing, ASNT asked me one time to consider doing a videotape about NDT, and I said, I would love to do it with Bob. They said, great. So we did. We went to Bartlesville, Oklahoma. It was at the Phillips Petroleum plant where they had a big studio. And he and I just winged it. They set it up just like the Johnny Carson show, with Bob being in the position, the seat of Johnny Carson, and I was like his guest. And he just started asking questions about NDT. Remarkable to hear him talk about just so many experiences he had, especially in the airline crashes. He was just remarkable. And after we had our discussion in the studio, then we went into a little, we had it set up as a lab, and we actually demonstrated the different methods that we were talking about. And that, believe it or not, that video is still available from ASNT. If you want to see how it used to be, I think ASNT still sells it, or maybe they'll give it away. But yeah, That's called The World of NDT.
I will definitely have to look into that, because I would love to see that. You know, and as well as the Sam Wenk video as well, because, you know, these are men that I've heard of over the last, you know, 25 years that I've been involved with ASNT and the NDT industry. But, you know, unfortunately for me, they're just names, right? And so bringing them to life with your stories and you know, if we can get a hold of some videos, that would be amazing. And I think our audience would love to have that history connection as well. So we'll definitely get in touch with ASNT and see what we can come up with for the site.
That's great. Yeah. And I think, yeah, I still have the videos. I think I reproduced them in a sizable form of Sam Wenk when I was interviewing him. And some of the questions you've asked me, I asked him and he answered it. So you'll be able to hear Sam's own response. One thing I did want to mention about Bob, they say that you get to know a person pretty well when you live with them. Well, I felt very close to Bob all the times that I visited him in his home. But while we were doing that 1 week, well, it took us one week to do everything on the world of NDT. We spent that week together at the Phillips Hotel in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And so I had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with him every day. Every day after dinner, we spent time. We'd take a walk together and talk. It was one of the best weeks of my life. And I really miss Bob. He was just one of those men that just, no matter how brilliant he was and no matter how busy he was, he always had time for me, the little man. That impressed me. And I'll never forget him for that.
Well, and it must have made some impression, because I'll tell you, everybody I talk to on this or elsewhere, they do all mention your name and how you always take time to talk with people and teach people and take real interest in their lives and goals. So it's great to hear where some of that came from in terms of your influences as well.
Yeah, that was Bob. I give Bob all the credit. He instilled so much in me that, again, whenever you have a hero, a real hero in your life, you always try to be like them. And a lot of times it's impossible. But I wanted to do so much, even in the way of training, you know, and the early days producing videotapes of the different methods. It was because of the desire that Bob instilled in me to try to educate people. So that's been, as you know, a big part of my life.
I love that. So, you know, you've been in this business for so long. What advice, and I know you touched upon this earlier, but what advice would you give someone starting out in the NDT business?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say really, really to young people who have a desire to get into a very interesting career with endless challenges, they should consider NDT. It's a wonderful profession. And I think if someone, and I've had this experience, indicated an interest, I would give them as much information possible to give them some kind of a introductory indoctrination as to what NDT is. You know, we're still living in a world where most people don't know what NDT even means. Mm-hmm. And so if they would start out with just taking, you know, some of the basic online free overviews of NDT, just to get familiar with what it is and what it can do, and what the benefits are. So I would start out with number one, learn as much as possible about the technology, because NDT is not for everyone. But I think once an individual really grasps what it is and what the benefits are and what the challenges and opportunities are, I think they'll, just like me, they'll get hooked on it. So learn as much as possible, even through visiting as a guest, local ASNT sections. That's a good place to meet people that have been around for a long time. They'll hear some interesting presentations. And then the next step would be to see if they could find an employer. And this would be one of the ways of, you know, finding by linking through the local ASNT members. Find an employer that would be willing to take the person and hire them and give them some of the training, because it's an extensive path. As you know, it takes training and experience to get to the different levels of certification. So it would be great if they could find a local employer, or doesn't have to be local, that would put the effort into the individual and provide them with the experience and the training that will really get them launched into a wonderful career. So that would, you know, getting familiar with NDT is major, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of people, you know, what's so great about NDT is that it's what you make of it. So I don't know a lot of other industries where hard work and learning has such a direct impact on your earning potential, on the opportunities you have to go out and do some exciting jobs, opportunities to travel. So I definitely agree. You know, learn as much as you can. And hard work and commitment, like you were speaking about, is huge. You know, I know you often give talks on ethics and integrity in this industry, and it is of vital importance, and committing it to what you say you're going to do. And you've given such a great example of that throughout your career. So I think that's really important for people who are looking at NDT and just starting out to understand that your word and your reputation in this industry are, you know, hugely important as the work that you do.
Well, I'm really enjoying this, Mary Beth. You know, you're being so kind to me. But you did bring up a very good point about the ethics and doing it right. You know, a lot of times NDT people will be out in the field all by themselves. They have to, you know, they're dependent upon for doing some real critical evaluations. I can remember my father growing up used to tell me a number of times that you can't fool the man in the mirror. Mm. I've used that from time to time. NDT is doing the right thing all the time, even when nobody's looking. You have to live with yourself. And if everyone in NDT would embrace that, there would be a lot less problems with interpretations and missed calls and so on. So I'm glad you brought up the ethical part. That's key.
Yeah, and actually, that's one of the things, you know, my whole family, we do Taekwondo together, and that's one of the tenets of Taekwondo is always do the right thing, even when no one else is watching. So, yeah. You know, I think we all try to instill that in our children, so it is a huge part of what NDT is and needs to be, for sure.
Yeah, that's excellent. I totally agree with that.
So my next question, what we always end with, is where do you see NDT headed in the next 10 years?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I wish someone would have asked me that question 10 years ago. And if they would have, I don't think I could have answered it in a way that really describes where NDT is today. I, at that time, probably would have never foreseen what the future was going to be for NDT. The last 10 years have been so innovative, not just with new techniques, but with great development and then innovation and equipment and the way things are being done. So I think if I took this pattern of the last 10 years and tried to project it over the next 10 years, I don't even think I could imagine what it would be like in 10 years. It's exciting to even think about it, that so many things have happened, not just with the digital world, but with all the new developments. I mean, digital radiography with phased array is just the beginning. So I think the next 10 years, and my prayer is that I can last that long, because I would really like to be around 10 years from now and see where NDT really has gone. It's just amazing. Challenging, it just doesn't get any better. And of course, the codes and the codes are changing. They're getting more sophisticated. We're learning a lot through trial and error. So it's going to be just a tremendous world, I think. And I think the world, maybe for the first time, really start to appreciate what NDT really is. And, of course, that is the key to safety and reliability. So I just can't even imagine. It would, maybe if Dr. McMaster was still here, he could probably imagine what it would be like in 10 years. But I believe the next 10 years are going to be the most exciting times in the entire technology of NDT.
I would have to say I agree with that for sure. And I definitely see, with the digitization and the robotics and all of that, there's so many areas for growth of NDT. But what I think is most important is all of the stuff that you have worked on over your career about educating people on how the different technologies work, how the different methods, the importance of the basics and understanding that, because I feel that there is there's an opportunity with robotics, but there's also, some challenges where if people get too far into worrying about the robotics or worrying about the drones and lose sight of what the basics and the physics are of NDT, that we're going to have some challenges. So I think it's so imperative that people get the education that they can in the different methods so they understand and are able to do the interpretation in a very proper and efficient but very effective manner.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better myself, Mary Beth. I think that that's really the key. The basics, you have to start out with the basics and understanding the basic principles behind these methods. That's sort of like the foundation. And then you get into the techniques and the innovations. It's the right combination, but the basics, you got to start there.
Yeah, agreed. Well, Chuck, I cannot thank you enough for joining us today. I think this is going to be a really popular podcast for our audience. I know so many people look up to you and have, read your articles and read your books and taken your classes. And so I think there's going to be a lot of folks who are really interested to hear what you have to say. And so we thank you so much for sharing all that with us today.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity. I have a tough time saying no when I given an opportunity to talk about my favorite profession. And I really appreciate what you're doing too. You're one of the most energetic persons I've known in a long time. I don't know how you do it all, but I do appreciate what you're doing, and more than happy to be on with you. And if in the future you run out of people to ask, I'm always available.
Well, we really, really appreciate that, Chuck. And thank you all for listening. Remember, we've got your six every month here at ndtnow.com, brought to you by Surehand. Let good jobs find you. Learn more at surehand.com.